The Gold Coast Suns, for the second week in a row, have put in a really poor performance, Michael Barlow, and we're going to get your insights into this as someone who spent some time at that club. The Sunday Ride today brought to you by Honda Motorcycles. So Port Adelaide get a 50-point win in Robbie Gray's 250th game. But the story of the day really was almost an insipid performance from the Suns. Their pressure rating were at season lows. The Sunday Ride for Honda Motorcycles. This is what Stuart Dew had to say after the game.
Teams will put you under that pressure and ask that question, whether you want to keep playing at that intensity. Are you capable of playing that intensity? So it's not going to go anywhere. We've got nine games, and regardless of ladder position, as we've seen, Melbourne in the last three games have lost to two bottom four teams. So it's not about where teams are on the ladder. Visually, how we dealt with the pressure early by overhandballing is clearly not where we want to be, but yeah, clearly when a team starts like that and puts heat on the scoreboard, it dents your confidence, but we've got to make sure it's not fatal or final across the course of a game. And that's, we're going to get some good examples of that, you know, particularly in this next 9 weeks. And in fact, that was the message at three-quarter time. It was about, well, we are right under the pump as a footy club at three-quarter time. And we talked about, we've had this pressure before, how many times have we succeeded at this point and how many times have we stepped in and actually gone back to how we want to play. Now, don't really want to talk about the fact that they did that quarter because we need to talk about the first three.
Stuart Dew, who admitted in that press conference that he is under the pump, but he said you are every week, especially when you're not winning. He said the heat was on early, they overhandballed and then went into their shell when their game plan didn't work. He spoke about needing to have the courage to keep with it and therefore they'd have predictability for each other, which they lost with their ball movement when they went back into their shell. And when speaking of pressure, they were in the low 100s for the bulk of that game. He said that the layers of pressure were not there, but the first layer of pressure was there. Michael Barlow, you spent time here and there's a heap to work through with the Suns, but you walked in today and you were not a happy man. So the floor is yours, my friend, and you can come off the fence.
That's not what I was saying. You've wound me into that.
No, so please, I've got witnesses here.
No, the witnesses are here. No, I wanted to talk to them and because they can be very, very much removed from the spotlight, can they, in terms of what they produce. So 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, this is the fourth year of a rebuild, essentially. Another rebuild, another revitalisation, whatever you want to call it within the footy club. 2018, yes, you take it as let's eradicate the win-loss, let's build, let's play some players, let's bring in the new players, get the draft picks, of which they got. 2019, 2020, they've put two good months of footy together across those 2 years, and they're the first months of the year. So traditionally they've come out and really made statements on their season and gone well and then deteriorated quite rapidly after that. This year, four wins across the season, sitting 16th on the ladder in a year where the players that have been around a while, the high-end talent that they've brought in, are now they've deteriorated, I feel, from what they produced last year. You know, Jack Lukosius, he's had some moments. You know, Lockie Weller's another one. He's in the prime of his career. A guy that had a really good year last year, he's had five contested possessions across 2 weeks of footy. So he's right in the mix. And he's a very good outside footballer, but he's warranting more inside minutes on a big contract. And with that, you can't be walking off with one, you know, on average over 2 weeks when your season's on the line and when the club's under pressure with, you know, picking up a handful of contested possessions.
I see them in a similar conversation as we've just had with Carlton. In regards to both senior coaches saying similar things post-game, similar messaging to their supporter base and to the AFL world, we are not simply getting the effort that we require to even being able to judge these teams accurately about whether they're good, whether they're not as a team, all those individuals. Stuart Dew has every right to be disappointed. So, and often we hear the terminology, we didn't play four quarters. We gave three quarters a good effort or we gave patches a good effort. The reality is that doesn't cut it anymore. The reality is that that group of players that you've mentioned, and speaking about when you're in your prime, what that means in its most basic form, Mick, and you're spot on, is that you can sustain that level of running, physicality and mental ability to get through a four-quarter game of football. You've mentioned really high and talented young kids that have come into the club, not in their prime in regards to probably right in the hitting zone, but they're at that level where they need to be able to do that now on a more consistent basis. The reality is, you have moments in games where you think, geez, I can understand why this guy went in the top five picks. But then you also have a lot of moments go, really? This was your first round pick? So when you get that inconsistency from individuals, when you aren't prepared to cut out the opposition's uncontested marks and watch teams move the ball like it's a training drill from their defensive 50 all the way through to have shots on goal, that's when you start to ask questions. Rightly so, as Stuart Jew did, said, was saying, I just don't see that effort. I don't know whether it's the system or whether it's these players that aren't buying in, similar to Carlton.
Well, the other thing that's similar to Carlton, you've got the internal review at Carlton, you've got Stewie Dew at the Gold Coast and also Josh Franku having a falling out. So there's uncertainty at the top and the common denominator is lack of effort from both teams. Would that be based around the uncertainty from above?
I think that would be a cop-out for players.
Do they know, Dal?
I'd say, just on that, just really quickly, that's a cop-out for players. If you are a player and you're saying, well, the uncertainty is not making me give my full effort, hand in the keys.
Can I ask a question about hunger? So what we understand is that, and we understand the situation at the Gold Coast, and we'll talk about the sins of the past shouldn't be laid at the feet of the players of the present, but are they going to keep repeating those sins into the future? So we know that this was as poor a setup of a club as you could possibly, when it was just done on the run, and we know everything that went on in terms of, I mean, if you could have your time over again, geez, wouldn't you change a heap? But in the situation they're in now, understanding that to keep players there, they're having to pay them well above the odds. So you've got players in their second and third years getting paid probably more than you two ever did in your illustrious careers. So where's the hunger? So people talk about the fact that when people are playing for their contract year to get the big contract, they have a season best, they have a career best, and then when they get fed, they're not hungry anymore. So they maybe there's a bit of a drop off in the first year after. You've got kids who haven't had to do anything to earn a spot and then being paid like absolute A-graders.
Rock stars.
Yeah, it is. So what does that do?
It began, the Jack Bowes, Jack Scrimshaw, Will Brody and Ben Ainsworth came in, four-year contracts. There you go. Will Brody hasn't put, and he's a good young player and just hasn't been able to find his opportunity. He'll be somewhere else next year. Ben Ainsworth is currently in the VFL.
Well, there was no takers for him last year.
Jack Scrimshaw is at Hawthorn. And Jack Bowes is going pretty well. But, again, is Jack Bowes the point to the argument, Dal? They haven't had a template, and hand in the air, this is probably a bit of a reflection on me. Have they had a template of what actual hard work and investment in your career looks like? I just jotted down some names of which I think can really walk into that club every day and think...
Sorry, but I was talking King Lekosius Rankin.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So there's them, but that was... Before you got now, King Lekosius Rankin are the same. Rankin, before he got his skin folds under a certain amount, and they'd already splashed all the dollars and put the contracts on the table. So where does that say? Here's what you have to do to get rewarded. It's that want versus will, or the want versus actually putting in the effort to get the reward. Took Miller, David Swallow, Sam Collins, Nick Holman. So Nick Holman's, you know, he's a maximum unconditional effort player and gets rewarded with games. So Took Miller would be on a nice contract. And I don't want to talk too much about the contractual aspect of it, but he earns everything he gets, Took Miller. Sam Collins has been up, down, delisted, pushed away, gone back, played VFL, come in, won their best and fairest. These are the guys that just got to put on the pedestal and say, this is what it looks like. Mm. This is what it looks like to actually, you know, be a solidified AFL.
So you're saying in its most simplistic form, if they were to walk off the ground as they did yesterday and they had to grab their own name on a magnet and put it on the board and say, yes, I gave my maximum effort and I ticked off the trademark, whatever theirs may be, or I didn't, you're telling me four players out of 23 yesterday can do that.
Well, oh, no, like, so Hugh David
Greenwood.
Swallow.
Would you put Hugh Greenwood in that?
Yeah, so I would. David Swallow got injured yesterday, but I'm talking over body of work.
Yep.
Ross Lyon, again, one of his ones was lucky dip. You know, what are you going to get from... if he was coaching the Gold Coast Suns right now, he'd rock up on game day and he'd just be, well, I don't know what I'm going to get.
Yep. Whereas what worse feeling either.
but isn't that a startling thing to say that you're having a lucky dip over guys that you're paying well over 500 grand to? They can't be lucky dips. Surely they can't be lucky dips. Took Miller is having an all-Australian season.
We don't even need to mention the money. Take the money completely out of it for a moment, because we can get hung up on what guys are earning and therefore what they have to deliver. A non-negotiable at this level, we've just spoken about it with Carlton, we've spoken about it with other clubs this year, the non-negotiable is you rock up and it's, in the old terms, have a crack. Everybody can relate and see things in their mind when you think about your favourite player, your favourite club, why you love guys, because they have a crack. Mm. Mick's just said over a period of time, there's four that he can think of that have a crack consistently. I don't care how much money you're on. You can be a rookie, you can be in your first game, or you could be at the other end of the spectrum and you're finishing up your career at the Gold Coast Suns, like a Hugh Greenwood.
I think
you have a crack. That is the non-negotiable when you come to a football club.
So how long do we let Gold Coast off the hook until we have to start really scrutinising them the way that we do other teams? Because we know that they're in probably a third rebuild from what they lost. And we know that, some of the where they find themselves at the moment is certainly not their fault. Mm. That is not their fault of how it was set up, what's happened from the start to now. But they're in a situation now where they are getting players to re-sign. They are getting a group together. We know that the influx of participation has been fantastic. So it's ticking boxes off-field. Mm. But when do we start holding them to a higher account off-field? And I, for one, am a massive expansion advocate. How long? Mm.
How long? I'm not sure. I think, again, to pinch a Ross Lyonism, we're past the roll of the ice stage. It's, you know, it's happened. It's, we've been disappointed, and now it's just, it's the norm. So I wouldn't have an answer to that.
But I'll put this back to you. But where do we go? Like, if we hold them to an account that we hold other clubs to, and Carlton's on the agenda again, what changes? What changes if you hold them to another account? It's not our responsibility. I mean, we judge them, and sometimes you let them through or slip through the cracks because...
Well, are they being held enough to account internally then?
Well, the evidence that we see week in, week out is probably a no.
I'll jump in there, Dale. So I've spent some time there. And clearly, I've been gone for a while now. So what, 3 years out? But back to that template of what it looks like to be a competitive AFL side and to have some continued performance and some predictability about what you're going to produce. I'll always remember it was a Monday weight session and we'd been drummed by 100 in the AFL. I'm not sure who, I think it might have been GWS early on, 2017 or 2018. And I remember David Swallow just came up to me and, you know, it was a gym session. The vibe was good. We were jumping around. Everyone was jumping around. The music was on. And David Swallow just walked up to me and he looked very somber. And he just goes, "What's it like?" And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "What's it like to be at a club that, you know, performs and you know what you get essentially?" And I was a bit taken aback because I actually looked around. I was like, it's a Monday, probably the wound just haven't even settled from what's happened 2 days earlier when we've been pummeled. And, you know, it's pretty much just under the carpet, let's get in, what's next Monday? And again, that's a bit of that I felt that was being on the Gold Coast. You know, no one knew us. And those performances, you felt bad, but, like, you know, time heals all wounds, and it healed wounds pretty quickly.
So they got used to and accepted losing. Mm. So there's plenty that we can talk about with the Gold Coast Suns. 1-300-736-736-0433-98-11-16. That was for Honda Motorcycles. The sale on now. We'll hear from Stuart Jew, who talked about his, I suppose, admission that he was under the pump. We can take your calls on the Southern Phone open line, get connected with Southern Phone and stay in touch with Southern Phone mobile plans. Blake Carosella, Hawthorne's new head of footy, Rob McCartney, in this hour as well.